In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of Lost Season 1, this time, Episode 13, Hearts and Minds. Now let's get through the bullshit as quickly as possible, because I got to talk about this. You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, we would be so, so grateful if you have the ability to do that. You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings. That gives you access to all kinds of bonus after hours episodes.
Ooh, we just did
to
one.
Vote on. We did a holiday one. We talked a lot about bottoms and tops and Godzilla.
Yeah.
Instead of as holidays.
You, as you do.
That's how the after hours episodes go. So you can hear those, but also extra movie reviews and breakdowns that people vote on. And access to our Discord family. You can also go to streamingthingspod.com. Follow us on Twitter, sure. Instagram, all that stuff. We love you.
It's at.
Okay. Bullshit aside, holy shit, this episode, guys.
Hearts.
This shit was crazy.
And minds.
We're going to talk about our overall thoughts. If you know, Madison and I have never seen the show before. Steve has. We've got a few skits in the games at the end. There's sister fucking in this? I love how smutty and low the show just got. I knew Ian Somerhalder was there for a reason, and it just hadn't gotten to it yet. How many jokes did I make about how kind of weird with her he
Literally.
Was?
So many. And I'm over here like, I can't wait till Hearts and Minds.
So we were spot on. It yeah. wasn't like we were being weird.
I know. Well, didn't we discuss like, oh, maybe they were kind of written to be a couple at first, but then... They like.
I thought it was a thing, or it was a couple, and they changed it to brother and sister.
And I was like, "Oh, that's like why
they left the subtext in."
Yeah, they're like two young, beautiful looking. Oh God!
Is this the start of like the stepsister craze in the adult industry?
Maybe
Lost,
possibly.
Interesting.
We can all thank Carlton Cuse for this.
Wow!
Wow!
I love that the entire episode is just about Locke trying to therapize him. To stop fucking his sister. He's like, you gotta let it go, man. We gotta, we need
he
to find out what's
right
in this hatch.
Shit.
You can't be banging your sister anymore. Okay. We got important things to do and you are obsessed with it. I get it, man.
I can see it. I know everyone else on this island might be an idiot, but mm-hmm. I can see what you're doing to her a mile away. Just like you can't look at her and play creepy music. As you stare at her from across the beach.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign.
I was picking those vibes up last episode and I'm glad they went there because that makes so much more sense. It would be campy and dumb if he didn't bang her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it makes sense. Wow.
So
I remember my mouth was just like dry. Like I was like, oh shit. Especially
when
it was
in love with me.
Was it Brian that said that he was in love with her? Or no, it was Shannon.
It was Shannon. She walks in drunk and she's like, look, I know you want this. And he's like, stop. I don't, but I do.
You cannot have this. You cannot have this. And then he has this.
You'll never get this. You'll never get this. One day he break out of cage and he get this.
And he get this.
Oh, so my notes goodness. On that moment are ha 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 ha. They fuck.
That's so weird.
And then I put Boone is distraught. LOL.
I was so happy when this episode came up because I knew this was going to happen. I knew this episode was happening because it's kind of an infamous episode.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I knew that you guys would lose your shit over it. So as soon as I hit play and it like focuses on Boone staring at Shannon, I'm like, this is fucking it. Yes, we're here.
I want to make a video on TikTok about this, actually.
You should.
This is like, this is fodder. Mm-hmm. This is wild shit. Yeah,
it's crazy.
The hatch and then his sister's hatch in the same episode. Madison. What are your overall thoughts on episode 13, lucky number?
I think we've kind of gone over at least the big part of it. I mean, the big twist of them fucking and is just crazy to me. We find out that they're not even related. They are step siblings. So sure. that was nice. But I had a really good time with this episode. I was engaged from front to end.
Ooh.
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts.
Aside from, you know, the step sibling affair, I thought it was cool to see, you know, Boone tied up.
Yeah, you did.
Well, and
suck me, Daddy.
It did end up becoming a imaginary sequence. I did like that there was the monster element brought back. That was fun. Had a little bit of action in there. And then still getting to see some characters together that we hadn't before, like Hurley and Jin, Kate and Son. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, I had a really good time with this episode and I'm excited to dive more into it. So
yeah. Steve, what about you? Revisiting episode 13, of course.
I was so happy to revisit this episode because, again, it's an infamous one. I think a lot of people sort of, because I remember at the time this
where episode, is this ranked? Is this like people like this or is it just like, oh,
well, I remember at the time this was like a mixed to negatively reviewed episode. Uh-huh. And I think it's because people just weren't ready for sister fucking.
But now
it was such it was a much more quaint time. And now people are like, yeah.
Nobody knows what it means. It's provocative.
Yeah. So like, I think it challenged the status quo of what a relationship was.
Yeah. Forbidden.
Yeah. Like taboo. This land of babes. It could be your sister, babe. It could be your mommy, babe.
Okay, oh. Travis. tuning into your Travis from Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. You know, we did the Wrapped episode and I missed that character.
Bringing him back. Cross streaming.
But, you know, I think the whole, I really like Ian Somerhalder, specifically his performance in this. And I think Lost gets very art house cinema in this episode because of the taboo topic of, you know, pseudo incest, even though they're not actually blood relatives. But just that scene.
We're not here to debate the morality of that.
No, not at all.
But I mean, like, Brady Bunch did it first. Siblings.
Yeah, Brady Bunch did do it first.
I'm going to soundbite that.
Just fuck him.
It's fine.
Life's short.
We're in Kentucky. It's fine.
But just the scene where it cuts from them like kissing and then that like he's out of focus, but like in red and like a dark room. Like that's like the most artsy shot ever committed to like a primetime national televised TV show at this point in time. But not only do you get that sort of like elevated, squirmy sort of narrative, you also get a lot of fun stuff going on with Hurley and Jin. Kate finally picks up that Son knows English, which is just
fucking
a great
finally
moment, right?
That was bugging me so much.
And then the only sort of like nitpick I have with this episode really is just like the 180 that Jack's disposition is in this episode. Like last episode, I was like, oh, Kate, why are you being such a butt munch?
And then Kate just like let him process it. And instead of being angry that he treated her like complete shit, she's just like, hey.
Hey,
check out my seeds.
And he's all flirty and like, don't he remember that thing seeds. I told you yesterday.
He said, plant my seeds.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Peg me. That's what he means.
Probably.
That's his Jack impersonation for new initiates.
Well, that scene where she's like, I can see you. She didn't actually see him. She heard him just in the woods. Jack, I know you're back there.
I can hear you hyperventilating.
I wasn't spying. I was just waiting. Right over here to tell you something.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I like this episode a lot.
I loved it. This might be my favorite.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know this was trashy. This is my shit. I didn't know it was going full Riverdale. I'm in.
Oh, okay.
Full Riverdale.
I'm interesting. In. I'm fucking right. In now. Like, just like Boone. Yeah, the only way it could have been better is if he also fucked Locke in this episode. That would have made it better.
Hey, you know, we have to stretch out a whole season, okay?
If Locke had looked at Boone and said, I do know a way to get into that hatch. You know what I'm saying? Meaning his butthole, Steve.
Or what was the last line of the series? Like, we got
follow
work.
Me.
He got work. He's like, follow me. I got work to do. And he just kind of stands up and starts.
And unzips.
just whips it out.
I think Terry O'Quinn is the diamond of this show.
He's just so good.
I mean, he's like, very good. Even though I kind of don't like what they're doing, it's a little annoying. Like, we don't know what he's seen. We don't know anything about what's going on. And I can see why this would be frustrating if, like, these questions aren't answered. You know, mm-hmm. I would be furious and probably will be based on everybody else in the world's reaction. Like, what the fuck is going on this island, right? Like, they keep alluding to... it's changing. It's altering Shannon's shoe size, Steve. from the inane to the serious, this island is doing things. And now, you know, Locke, we've already seen his backstory. He actually doesn't have any training or anything to explain his preternatural ability to survive in the wilderness or anything. He's like read some books, mm-hmm. but they're making it seem like he really...
Hey, he was a Weeble Low.
He was a Nom. For 10 years, you know?
I mean, have you been a Weeblo? That's basically
I never have been. I never have been.
I've never even heard that term before.
That's like a 10-year-old's nom, right?
But at the same time, I love the character, you know? And like Charlie says it best, you know? Do I trust him? Everybody here, I have complete faith that he's going to save us all, mm-hmm. you know? But at the same time, he's kind of villainous. And, mm-hmm. you know, because he's got that... he's giving Dr. Manhattan, like... His knowledge of the universe is so high that it just seems like he's evil because he's doing things on a different, he's operating on a different level.
Well, you know? There's that thing he says to Boone early on where Boone's like, why don't we tell everybody about the hatch? He's like, they're not ready yet. Like that's some, you know, the peons ready aren't ready to know.
For what? Like, it seems like to me as a viewer watching this, it's like, hey guys, we found a door. We don't know where it goes or how to open it. That's something for everybody, you know,
because
you,
he's you don't, just trying to gatekeep.
Exactly. Your hatchkeeping.
Hatchkeeping.
But at the same time, I had some thoughts while watching this. I was so grateful to see Jen and Son, some of my favorite characters again. It's been so long. And because of the strike, it feels like I haven't seen them in 5 months, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of my problems are biased because we paused for so long. But at the same time, I also felt like this episode was kind of juggling too many characters. Mm. You know, I was kind of like, I don't give a fuck. Oh, Michael found his luggage. Oh, that's a mystery. I don't give a fuck. You know,
it's like they didn't have to throw that in there.
Yeah. Little things like that,
too, you know,
but we'll see. I think by the end of it, I was like, it was nice. Fuck it. That was cool. And I can't wait to keep going. I say that every week, but let's dive right in. Shall we?
Let's do it.
So
eyeball.
It opens with eyeball, as always.
Always.
It's a shtick. I appreciate, you know. Boone's still comically angry. We don't yet know why. Staring at his sister and Saeed flirting.
I just love those tiny horror movie notes they underscore the scene with.
Yeah.
Like he's this rising tension.
So at the beginning, I thought because the French woman alluded to the power on the island can actually like make
change you.
Possess people, kind of. It's the vibe that I got. So I started thinking, oh no, is Boone like... Dunzo for the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. Like he's just an evil quantity now.
He and Locke are going out to the woods and somehow he got infected.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. That's what I thought. And then
the hatch is like admitting some evil womp, voodoo.
Womp. Fuck your sister. Womp. he brought her, Saeed brings Shannon a present and it's some dead bitch's shoes.
Uggo looking heels.
And I like that when he says it to me, he's like, I mean, I have no use for them. Like he's such a bad gift giver, right? Like at least act like it's something precious.
What is she gonna do with these shoes?
Oh, they're almost my size.
I love this scene because stupid, sexy Saeed, you could argue the layman might think, oh, he's got no game. Uh-huh. I argue Saeed has all the game because he's like, hey, I got you this shoe. I have no use for them. And then when she's like, oh, they're almost my size, the island is, I, my feet are bloated or whatever. He goes like, oh, another mystery of the island revealed. Like, fuck, Saeed. Oh, my God.
I haven't been measuring your feet while you sleep at all. That's a surprise to me that these are your size.
Shannon's like, okay, Tarantino. Chill
exactly.
out.
He was full Tarantino. And Hurley. So this scene is wild to me. He should have just pulled the it's my dick in a box joke. I got you a present. Open it. Oh. Another Mr. The Island revealed. How big is my dick? Hurley.
That's the next like big pickup line is you ask somebody a question. They answer you and you go, oh, another mystery of the island revealed.
I'm going to use that.
Hey, where's the bathroom? Oh, another mystery of the island revealed.
Hurley goes up to Boone and asks why they haven't brought any boar back. And at first it seems like he's being a dick. Like, it's kind of needy. Like, you know, why aren't you bringing us more food back? Hey, this isn't a game, man. It came off as like out of character for Hurley. But then it turns into this comical plot thread that he's got diarrhea because all he can eat is fruit because there hasn't been any boar and he can't catch fish.
He needs that protein.
So like, I get it now. And then it cuts back to the past. It's Boone.
Back in time.
They're rich. He's at a country club with some lady. He gets a call from his sister, Shannon. You can tell she's with her abusive boyfriend in the background. And he's like, I'll come get you. Where you at? And she's in Sydney, Australia. That's where the fuck she is.
Dun,
like,
dun,
oh, dang.
Dun.
Where they make movies better.
That's true. We cut back to the present and Boone tells Saeed to stay away from his sister, man.
Stay away.
And Saeed's so gangster about it.
He is.
Oh, really? What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do?
And he's like, I'll fuck you up. And he goes, oh, well, what if I don't care?
You know where to find me. I'll probably be over here fucking your sister.
Another mystery of the island revealed. Yeah.
And Locke interrupts. He's like, I found fresh tracks, which in fact he didn't. He's just trying to get Boone away. They need Saeed. Locke tells him,
we
don't want
to make an enemy of him, all right? He's smart and thrifty.
We need him.
He's got riz, all right?
For the inevitable island civil war, we need him on our side. He loves to torture people, Boone. Do you want to be tortured? I don't think you do.
I don't think you do.
I don't.
At this point, I was like, Boone, chill out. Like, I obviously didn't know the context of, like, why he was acting the way that he was. But I just was like, let your sister live.
Yeah.
Let her get.
Now we get it.
Let her, you know, get some ass or whatever, you know? But now we know, whatever.
Yeah, if anybody's going to be fucking my sister. It's me.
It's me.
That's what Boone says.
I know it's going to be topping.
Nobody
my
take
sister.
That quote from the
podcast.
I saw
her first. Yeah.
When we were eight.
We've been living together since we were eight.
I don't know when they got married, though. Ew. It might be like a Brady Bunch thing, you know? Like they were both 18. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up? Sister, I guess. I feel funny.
Marsha.
Yeah, Marsha. And then Locke says, fuck the boar. Not literally, because I know who you are, Boone. What we're doing here with the hatch is far more important. And Boone's like, is it? We're just staring at this door, right? He's like, Locke's like, no, this is our priority.
And you get to see the hatch and it's all of its glory.
Can I say, little window. Like, how many days the have... Wall.
Two.
So, like, in my head, they have not made much progress. Am I wrong?
Zero.
Yeah, like, they've made zero progress.
That's the whole point of the Michelangelo story.
Uncovering it, though, like, it's just probably like a 2x2. I feel like they could have, like...
That's one of my biggest problems with this episode too, is like, is Locke is very intelligent, right? And he gives this whole tirade. We'll talk about in a second about Michelangelo and how he's planning his strat.
Right.
I feel like there's some really smart things you could do, which would include telling everyone and recruiting their help.
Yeah.
Like
Michael, the engineer, might have an idea on how to engineer something.
Dig around the hatch.
Yeah.
You know, see, there must be other walls to it. You could try to find hatches go places to other hatches. Perhaps you could try to hike around and find the other apertures. Maybe this is just an exit door.
Hatches go places.
You know what I mean? Like there's smart things you could do to like figure out where the hatch goes. Cause like if it's underground, it has other outlets.
It just seemed like they've been going out there. Like everybody's making this idea. Like they've been going out there several times and I'm like, okay, so you just went 2 feet by 2 feet and you stopped digging. Like in my head, I'm just like,
yeah. I'm with you.
Come on, guys. Like,
how are we going to get in? I don't know. Maybe from the side.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. It was just very in my notes. I was like, doesn't seem like they've made a lot of progress.
For all they know, it could just be a septic tank, you know, it's just full of shit.
That would be great. Like, this is important. And they open up. Oh, it's just shit in here.
The French woman walks up like, why are you playing with the poo box?
Is that just where we put the poo? The benevolent.
The poo-poo.
Benevolent make a poo and put it in the poo box. That is where we have to put it.
Yeah. Excuse me. Have you guys, I've been trying to wait for you to leave for days. I got a shit. What are you doing? What,
why are you guys staring at my poo box?
You're weird.
I would very much like to take a poo.
You look like a sister fucker.
We should get along then.
So Hurley goes to Jack for confidential medical advice. He says he has some stomach issues. He's got the runs. And he thinks Jen has it in for him for turning down the sea urchin. He's been eating nothing but fruit. Jack thinks it's hilarious that Hurley is having a miserable time.
I do love how the whole this whole conversation, Hurley's like picking leaves. And finally, Jack's like, you're not eating those, are you? And Hurley's like, these aren't for eating.
Mm-hmm. For wiping. They're for wiping.
And then Jack's spying on Kate gathering seeds, being a real creep. She knows he's there.
How'd you know?
She's got passion fruit seeds. And this is where we find out that Sun and she are making a garden. And Kate says Locke isn't catching the boar for them because he's hoarding it. She suggests that maybe he's being a selfish man, right? Mm-hmm. She's because she, as someone who's always shady, projects that onto other people. Mm-hmm. In this case, pretty accurately, though.
Yeah.
Locke's being weird. Locke and Boone are trying to get into the hatch. Like, this episode kind of plays that like it's a reveal, but it's definitely not.
I do think it's adorable that at one point Locke's like, what are you making in that bowl? It's a melon.
Oh, you mean Boone says that about yeah. Locke? Yeah.
Yeah. Locke's got his little, he's like making mortar a concoction. Mortar and pestle kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. In his melon. But I do love how Boone like is just playing into the fantasy. Like, what's in the bowl, sir?
Well, he's turned the melon husk into a bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
What's in a bowl?
Bowl's in the eyes of the beholder.
What's in that melon?
Melon.
What's in that melon of yours, Locke?
Melon.
You're my melon.
Aw.
And then they can't get into the hatch. They've just been staring at it. He tells the whole story about, you know, Michelangelo looking at the hunk of marble for 4 months, and 3 years later, it was the Statue of David. Mm-hmm. Dick and balls and everything.
Yeah, the prince or whatever would be like, what are you doing in here, Michelangelo? And he'd working. Be like, I am working, but in whatever Italian script that Locke
I like how they didn't even translate the Italian. It just said speaking Italian. Yeah. And that's what I mean about Locke's mystery. Like, we've seen his backstory. Nothing would indicate that he's fluent in Italian or as good at everything as he is, but I kind of love it. You know, he just, as soon as he had legs, he just blossomed into a warrior.
Man. We're going to learn more and more about Locke's story as the show continues.
I cannot wait.
I need more Locke. I need a spinoff called Locke and Key.
Oh, if that's what that show is about,
I would have watched it.
You know, but I would have watched it.
Locke and Kate.
Ooh.
Oh.
Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut back to the past. He arrives in Australia to get Shannon from Brian. And
I don't know why you were saying Locke and Key, and in my mind, I'm like, what would the gin and juice spinoff be? But it like gin.
Oh.
Like who's juice?
Hurley.
Hurley.
For sure.
Pee on my foot, dude.
Constipated Hurley.
Mm-hmm. And it comes to, he comes to get Shannon from Brian, and she tells him it's like, she's fine. And she's signaling him with the bruises on her face. Like it's giving, I can't tell you in front of him or he'll beat mm-hmm. us both right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay.
That dude's scary big. Like that guy's got a jawline.
And he's Australian.
He's Australian. He's got a jawline. He lives in a land where everything can kill you.
Yeah.
You don't want to fight that guy.
Definitely not.
Again, at this point, I was like theorizing, oh, what is like, because I was projecting, oh, we're seeing how Shannon and Boone got on the plane and like, because they're both Americans.
Correct.
So I was like, they're whatever. And I was like, oh, did they murder this guy?
That's what I thought too. Boone, I was with you.
Did Boone like kill this guy because he was like abusing his sister? Yeah. And like they're fleeing Australia to like get away from, you know, being murdered.
And I love how this episode is like, you're being weird, audience. He's just hyper protective of his sister because she's been abused so often.
Right.
And it was making, almost convincing me. It was selling me on that. Like, oh, I thought they were fucking, I'm weird.
It's like,
and then it's like, boom, they were fucking.
It's like, oh, she's the damsel in distress, always having bad taste in men that abuse her. But no, she's
a hustler
yeah. with her stepbrother.
She's doing a Sawyer on her own brother.
Stepmother.
My brother wants this ass so bad. He'll fly over here and give me money. Watch this.
Watch me do the bruise reveal thing with my hair.
Hey, just punch me in the face and I'll give you half $50,000. How about that?
Yeah. She does that anyway. That was like sex stuff. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, what's this?
What's this?
Hurley asks Jen to show him where he gets the fish, right? And he's like convinced that Jen fucking hates him. And he speaks to him in Korean. He's like, you just said something mean, didn't you?
Yeah, because Jen basically is like shooshing him away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Boone says they need to tell them. It cuts back to them, meaning the rest of the people. I agree with him. Locke says they're not ready. And then Boone says that at least tell my sister, right? She's smart and special in a lot of ways. She's got great. And he's like, what? Nothing.
Legs that go on for days.
They go all the way up. The
golden hair of an angel.
He goes full Joe Dirt. And Locke can tell. And this is when Locke's like, oh my God, dude. You're
fucking, because he says, like, I can't keep lying to her, Locke. And he's like, do you feel bad for lying to your sister? Or do you feel bad for the way she makes you feel for lying to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or for lying to her?
Is it weird that you guys are having sex? Is that what you're guilty about? That's what Locke's therapizing him, right? And Locke makes damn sure. And then knocks him out when he turns around. Like, okay, then you want to do this? Let's do this.
Yeah, he hits him with the butt of his knife right there in the back of the neck.
Classic TV knockout move.
Paralyze him.
I mean, it always just knocks people out in the movies.
Yeah.
I like to imagine trying that in real life and then just going, ow!
what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, that's what would happen. And then he's got him tied up and he's like, it's what's best for you. And then he puts the melon goop on his head and walks away.
It's time for you to let go of some things, Boone. Mm-hmm. The island's going to show you some stuff.
Yep. I got some melon jelly for that head. And I think you're going to like it. So we cut back to the past and the Australian police won't help Boone. You know, he says, oh, it's a cycle with her. She always picks up shitty guys, right? Was that fucking Sawyer getting arrested?
Yes.
Yeah. That was Sawyer getting arrested. I love what
Crocodile
Sawyer said.
Crocodile Hunter, motherfucker.
It was his bottle. I just gave it back to him.
Yeah. Interesting. That's the first time we've seen someone else with the dream.
Yeah, like a flashback.
Or the flashback. Yeah, I love it.
Wasn't Jen in the background of Jack's episode where like Jack was trying to get his dad?
Oh, at the airport. That's less impressive.
That's true. This is the out of the airport, outside of that.
We knew they're all on the plane.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, we find out, this is where that we really kind of find out that Rutherford is Shannon's last name. His last name's Carlisle. She's his stepsister.
I know, my notes are, she's his stepsister. Oh, no. Did it hit all of you at this point? Or I guess specifically you?
Like, yes and no. I was still kind of like, I was still holding on to that like innocent pureness. Like, oh, he just really likes it, like wants to protect her.
Yeah, I like, this is where I metaphorically... lean then.
Oh, stepsister.
Oh, no.
It goes back to the,
she gets stuck finger. In, yeah, I was like, ooh. Is she going to get stuck in the dryer?
Is oh, my God.
Yeah, have you seen those videos where it's like,
yes,
stepbrother? It's like the stepsister always trying to seduce the stepbrother, and the stepbrother's like, Megan, what do you want?
Yeah, the comedy
stepbrother.
Ones.
Stepbrother.
Yeah, he's like, what? Yeah.
It's hilarious. But this is like... the worst cop ever because he's just like, sorry, mate, we can't do anything. We're just the police, not the dating police.
Well, I think it's pretty accurate, unfortunately.
Well, it is, but also.
I love how Boone tries to flex his mother's wedding business.
Yeah.
Maybe you've heard of her.
And the guy's like, are you going to pay for my wife's wedding dress?
What the fuck are you on about, mate? Yeah.
Right. Well, the reason this cop just gives me real piece of shit vibe is he's having this conversation with Boone, who's trying to get his sister protected. And like almost when the conversation's over, the police officer's like, listen, buddy, we'll make sure that your sister, just like scanning his notes. He can't even remember this woman's name.
Right. Yeah.
He could at least be sympathetic. Like, I understand what you're saying. There's just not enough. Legally, I can't do anything unless I have more to go on. He could be more sympathetic about it. Right.
Right.
So then we cut to him. Going up to Brian, who like works on a fucking dock or something.
Brian.
Give me my money, Brian.
Brian.
Cool whip.
Cool whip. Cool whip. He tells Brian to break up with his sister for $25,000. And Brian's like, no, I love her too much. It's going to take at least 50. Right.
How much is your love for Shannon worth? 50,000.
Yeah. And we cut back to the present. Kate. Full on lying.
Oh, we find out. Sorry. He's the third dude that he's done this.
Yeah. He spent like $100,000 at least.
Yeah.
Getting his sister.
Or he just pays these guys off to stop dating Shannon. He
wants her all to himself.
Mm-hmm.
We cut back to the present. Kate is lying to Sun, right? Like none of what she said was accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, I love to travel. I was on my way to Bali. So full on lying to Sun. And then in that moment, she realizes Sun speaks English. Like she can just tell that Sun understands.
Finally.
Finally.
Well, because she says something kind of funny and And Son smirks at it. Yeah. It's like, wait, you know what I just said.
Holy shit. I've said all kinds of weird shit to you. I told you I've had these underwear on for 6 days just to tell somebody because my conscience was heavy. I didn't think you could understand. I flip them front to back every other day. I'm not that weird.
I told you that I mouth kiss Sawyer.
For the inhaler he didn't have. And we underwater tickle fight it. I told you so much stuff.
Yeah, and poor Son's like, oh, shit.
Tickle fought, by the way. I know.
And Son's like, just don't tell my husband I speak English. I don't care what Please. You've done, what you've told me.
So the scene ends with her realizing she speaks English. Because up to this point, only Michael knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We cut back to Hurley fishing with Jen. And he steps on a sea urchin right after he gives up. Just pee on it, man.
Just do it.
Pee on my foot.
And we're all getting the same vibe that Jen also secretly speaks English. Is this right?
No, there's a really fun moment. I love how they pair this back to back with one another because Son reacts directly to what Kate's telling her by like smiling and giving it away. And Hurley's talking to Jen and Jen's looking at him just like, I don't know what you're saying. Like like I love the acting there because Jen really kind of plays it. He does not know.
He begs him to pee on it multiple times. And eventually Jen goes, no.
Well, it's because Hurley points at his crotch.
Really?
Yeah. Hurley's like.
Wiener.
Like points at his crotch and then points at his foot.
I wouldn't understand. And if somebody like, was like,
no.
If somebody was like in Icelandic trying to get me to pee on them.
Jürgen Flergen.
From
Jürgen Flergen.
From Hurley's miming, I would not have gotten that, you know?
Dick foot? Really?
I don't know.
Okay. Well.
Foot job? What? How's that gonna help?
I mean, I guess.
What if he just started?
Well, I feel like regardless.
Yeah. No, man.
I feel like Jin, regardless, after the pointing at the crotch, was just like, nope.
Yeah, no. Whatever you're saying, no. But no. Hurley says, do you speak English? We all think you do. You know, I don't know.
Your wife's hot.
That was hilarious.
That was so funny.
And we cut
Do you understand infection, amputation, gangrene?
Is that a real thing, by the way? I know sea urchins are very painful because when we were in Hawaii, my wife knows a lot about the ocean.
I think they're a little poisonous. And
she was like, definitely stay away from those. It's extremely painful.
I think if you step on one, like their spikes have venom. Something. Yeah.
Venom. I know what's in them. We don't know what's in them. Anyway, Locke accidentally sneaks up on Saeed. Accidentally. Mm-hmm. Sorry to know it's so sneaky.
Saeed is orienteering?
Yeah, he's making a compass with like a water and a cork and a something and a needle. And then Locke's like, you're cool, man. I need you on my team.
I love
the fight goes down. Here's a real compass.
We below.
I love the small little character moment where he's a weeb. Note. I just wanted to tell you, Saeed, I wanted you to notice me, Senpai.
What do you like? Hunter Hunter or Demon Slayer more?
Demon Slayer for sure. No, I love the subtle character moment where Saeed like pulls out his knife and he's like, oh.
And Locke's got his knife out too.
I didn't hear you coming up. Like, so Locke is thrifty. He's sneaky.
But also Locke had his knife out.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to make of that?
I think Locke just likes having his knife out.
He was definitely sneaking on purpose to stab, but maybe not knowing it was Saeed, maybe thinking it might be one of the others or something. But I mean, they're both acting, mostly Locke, less menacing and capable than they really are, right?
Like Locke's doing the, oh, I'm just a humble wee below.
I like the acting too that Saeed was limping still, you know, alluding to the injury that he's received recently.
Yes.
But then he gives him a compass, a real compass, and says he doesn't need it anymore. The fuck does that mean?
Because he knows
one of the lost and founds.
He has a built-in compass in his brain.
Is that what it is? Or is it because he knows because of the magic of the island that the compass doesn't even work?
I think it's, he knows the compass doesn't work, but he knows where True North should be and everything. Because he's that skilled of a huntsman.
And of a regional manager.
Yeah. The box company taught him all kinds of things. I can tell when it's going to rain because of my breasts. Saeed, I don't need any of this stuff.
Okay, Karen.
We cut back to Boone, who hears Shannon calling for help because Locke told him, you know, when you get the right motivation, you'll cut yourself free, which just means you'll be able to owie your arm long enough to grab the knife.
Yeah.
Owie.
You'll stop being a little bitch.
Yeah, he's tied up in a very interesting way where he's got like his arms on different sides of his body.
I get what Madison's saying. Like, it's giving one of those sex rope things for sure.
It is. Yeah. A bondage scene.
What's up?
But it's like, he has to like T-Rex arm the knife.
I would have loved to cut to Locke in the bushes watching it. Like
he's just like popcorn. He's getting fingers full of the paste that he made in that bowl. Like, yeah, get out, boy.
Tripping balls.
he's in the tree with Kate.
He's in the hatch just watching through the window.
This is my favorite movie.
Oh, gosh.
And then
we hear like remnants of the monster.
I'm tied up too.
Yeah. And then we, I'm tied up. Then we hear the monster.
Yeah, the creature's roaring.
Were you excited to hear the monster again?
I was. Thank God. Boone grabs the knife, finds his sister tied to a tree. Stepsister, we have to be very clear about that going forward. They both run and hide in like this little grove. And we think the monster's gone, but then it starts banging on the grove. It's a good little horror scene. Mm-hmm. Very effectively done. And we all thought, aside from Steve, I guess you can kind of remember your first viewing of this episode, that Shannon was really there and that the Locke had like went and gotten her. Is that what you...
So when I initially... Because I have written in my notes, I thought it was a hallucination. Like my initial thought was, oh, like the shit that Locke put on his head is making him imagine really? These things. Yes. And I think part of it was because Locke fucking stole Shannon from the camp. And tied her up.
At this point, they've sold him as a very capable man.
Well, earlier in the scene before, like when I first watched this, I also thought it was a hallucination because Locke establishes, oh, camp's 4 hours that way if you want to get there.
Yeah.
And then it would take him 8 hours to get there.
He didn't say
there.
4 hours. He said 4 miles.
Oh, I thought he said hours. Anyway, but still, like he also says like before, like the island will show you what it needs to show, what you need to see. So we've already set up that the island was showing you something.
I think there were hints to express that it was a hallucination, especially when, you know, you had this kind of like upward angle with the camera of Boone and it was kind of like he looked a little disoriented. And then we started to hear the screams of Shannon and then the monster. So like, that's what made me start to believe that it was.
I thought it was a hallucination until it showed her tied to the tree.
Right. And that's exactly like, what mark? I thought. And so,
but it never occurred to me that it was the head juice. Mm. I thought it was the magic of the island because they're island boys.
The head juice.
Was it the head juice?
Exactly. Like,
I don't think you can say for sure it was.
I've taken a lot of hallucinogens. None of them are as real as what Boone experienced. That's not what it's like.
It
it's
just doesn't
like
make sense.
Finger tracers
for
and stuff.
Locke to like, he hit him to open the gash and then he put the shit on his head. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
See, I think you could take it that Locke's just what he says is like, you don't want to get an infection out here. I've made an infection paste for your head wound that I gave you. And then Boone's just experiencing what the island gave to Locke early on.
Correct.
Because Locke didn't make any paste.
Because later the line, he says, that's what it showed you or whatever. I don't think he was alluding to the hallucinogen.
Yeah.
I think he was alluding to the monster. And he's just not ready for that yet. So he's saying it was a hallucinogen, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of my...
Because he doesn't say like, yes, it was an hallucinogen. He just lets Boone say it, but he doesn't correct him yes or no either way.
Interesting.
I think he does give an affirmative on that, but... I have to rewatch it, but I do think it's kind of a lie or at least not a whole truth. But yeah, he sees Shannon, quote unquote, tied to the tree. And then the monster chases them and it's assailing them. We cut back to Saeed asking Jack where North is. He's being coy.
What does Kanye's kid have to do with this?
He says the compass is defective, right? A little bit of magnetism weirdness can explain a few degrees, but not this, right? This compass is shit.
It's defective.
And then it cuts to Shannon asking Boone what he did to Locke. Because what'd you do to him? He's awful pissed.
He's ripped shit.
He tied me up.
And we cut to the past.
Back in time.
He comes back to Shannon to get her to pack up. She doesn't want to leave. Brian comes in.
Brian.
And we realize.
What are you doing, Brian?
And Boone realizes that she set him up. She always sets him up. And she knows he'll come give her the money. Back in the present, Locke is just scanning the ocean. He's very mysterious. Jack comes up. Oh, I'm patient, Jack. Don't worry. He says, oh, they're migrating out of the valley, according to the boar, referring to the boar, because we've introduced a new predator to their environment. The most dangerous predator of all, humans, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is like...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Means more than he's saying regarding the boar, I think.
Yeah, I think he's being a little metaphorical.
I feel like everything Locke says is a little metaphorical.
Yeah, he's been awakened. He's woke.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, Boone, I don't give a shit that you're fucking your stepsister. Mm-mm. That's modern.
We're beyond all that.
We got to get in that hatch, right?
It's literal. Yeah. The hatch at our feet, just to be clear, Boone. And Jax, you know, they have a fun interaction. I haven't talked to you in a while. You're a busy man. You are too. Doing all kinds of weird shit. it's a good interaction.
This is so good. I always love seeing Locke and Jack interact because they're... You
it's
know,
like the leader and the spiritual leader of the group, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like your Dumbledore and your Lord of the Rings.
Gandalf. Wow.
Full circle.
Gandalf greater than Dumbledore. I just want to throw that out there.
So Locke greater than Jack?
Yes. Locke would fuck Jack up. Jack would be winded immediately. Jack's the bottom.
Sorry, I got winded looking for boats on the horizon.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's the holiday season, the season of gift giving. If you're like me, you've waited until late December to think about it, and now everything that you try to order on a website is not going to arrive until after Christmas. That's the opposite of the holiday spirit. That's stressful. We've got a gift that you can give yourself. You can get a subscription to BetterHelp and give yourself the gift of therapy. If you've never tried therapy before, it's a great way to get into it. You can fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a therapist. And if you don't like them or you're not meshed, it's easy to switch. You can just get another one. And it's all online, so you don't have to stress about the traffic and the driving and the location and all the logistical things that always help you talk yourself out of giving therapy a try. So I think you should do it. This holiday season, lower the stress a little bit. Give yourself the gift of mental wellness. So in the season of giving, give yourself what you need with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Ho, 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 happy holidays and happy streaming, everybody. This month, we want to give a special shout out to all of our patrons who keep the lights on at Streaming Things, but we especially want to give a special shout out to the super patrons. They are Kaylee Sampson, Stan Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brent Stradamus, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jace Gramo, Haley Anderson, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Joey Stewart, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Linda Eklund, Emmy, Joe Velez, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and of course, Enza. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. And with that, let's get back to it.
We cut back to Sun pouring out to Kate that only Michael knows, not her husband. I love the line. It's so on the nose, but have you never lied to a man you've loved? And Kate's like, oh, I do that all the time.
Constantly.
So often.
Girl.
That's like my thing.
Kate's like, let me take you under my wing.
Girl, I kill people. Hurley asks Jen if he speaks English, and then he does the your wife's hot test. And then he makes Hurley eat a sea urchin, which is that supposed to like counteract the venom if you get it in your body, building up a top? Well, what is that?
So I don't really know what this is about. I feel like this might also be Jen's way of like, hey, I offered you this thing and you shot me down.
So you think Hurley's correct that he was offended and this is his test again?
I think so.
And eat it and I will feed you.
If you eat it, if you eat it, we're cool. And I just love how he gives it to him and it looks like a little shot glass. Like, take the gloop.
Yeah.
Take the gloop.
Take it.
Because you know that shit's old and runny.
Down the hatch. And he throws up the sea urchin. And Jen looks really...
at the same time.
Does he?
No.
Jen looks really, like, sympathetic.
What if Jen's a sympathetic vomiter? He's like, oh, no. Oh, me too.
And we cut back to Jack giving Charlie his medicine. I think it's aspirin.
I'm sorry. I cannot leave that scene without chastising you. How dare you not say Hurley hurls?
Oh.
It was right there.
It was right there.
You know, Hurley you're always hurls. There to back me up if I miss a low-hanging fruit.
That's a good one.
That's my jam.
A low-hanging papaya.
Low-hanging guava.
Jack gives Charlie his aspirin. And he checks on him mentally as well. And Charlie's still whiny, right? Oh, am I doing good? I'm stuck on a fucking island. I lost my pregnant friend. It's week two of heroin withdrawal, which, by the way, week two is you're done. You're done. There's no more withdrawal. And then he asks him about Locke. And then Charlie's like, oh, Locke's my dude. You got beef with Locke? You got beef with me.
He's like, I don't care how weird he is.
Yeah, he acknowledges, I think he's weird as fuck. Super scary. Probably up to some super shady shit.
But he saved my life.
I like him.
Yeah.
I have absolute faith in Locke to save us all, in fact, right? And then Jack's like, hmm.
Interesting that you don't like the doctor as much. Really weird. I only walked from the caves to give you an aspirin.
Yeah, no big deal.
Guess I don't care.
Yeah, you and the rash guy, super ungrateful.
Matter. It's fine.
Michael, we cut up to Michael, who is super
the
ecstatic.
The first time that we see him, this whole episode.
And he's like looking in a box and somebody off camera, I think smiling. It's Harley. He's like, oh, you found your own bag, man. Cool.
But it's not cool. Like it's like it's a wooden box, right?
Yeah,
like
it's
a memory
something
box.
Sentimental.
Yeah. He's just smiling at it like,
oh, you can use your own toothbrush. That's neat. And he sees Walt playing with the dog and like it's like kind of a touching moment where he's like maybe a little content in his fatherhood or something. I don't know what they were trying to give us there, but I got it.
And Hurley gives him his papaya.
And then because he's like, yeah, man, you definitely have. I eat lots of those.
I've been shitting papayas constantly.
And Jen gives Hurley a fish and it's already been cleaned and prepared for him.
So
and Hurley's
sweet.
Like, thanks, man. Huh. You ever tried pineapple on pizza, man?
And then she goes back to Sun. And I wish we could have known what Jen says to Sun in that moment. Cause she gives them the whole like, oh, you.
Yeah. They're so happy. They have a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jack's
Kate,
like, they look so happy.
Does Jack say that? Or does he say that Kate looks happy? I couldn't tell.
I think Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
Jack says that they look happy to Kate.
And Kate says happy.
Kate's like, okay.
And he gives her guava seeds.
He does the classic, like, hey, girl, hold out your hand.
Yeah. And he puts his dick in it.
Yeah.
Classic. That's how you taught me this move.
What is this? A tiny stick?
I used to have, when I was younger, I used to have several hand-based moves when I was on a date with someone. Uh-huh. Where I'd be like,
okay. Go on.
I would hold my hand out like this. I'm like, hey, could you hold this for me? Acting like I had something in my hand. And they would like put their hand down. And I was just like, thanks.
And you would hold their hand?
I would hold their hand.
Dang. Does that work?
It did.
Once.
No, nice. I think I got three. Three
right,
I'm three for three on
number.
That one.
Dang.
That's a good
is that
number.
How you pulled Erica?
No.
Set the bar.
I'm no
hold
longer
your hand.
I'm no longer in high school.
Nice.
That shit won't work anymore.
That's nice.
We cut to Boone and Shannon, maybe lost. And he's defending Locke, even though he's in his mind tied them both up, right? Only Locke's the only one who has a clue what's going on out here. Look, we found a piece of metal, which is a terrible way to describe to her. Like, it's his fault. He misled her at first. She's like, a piece of metal? No, it's a hatch.
Like the thing Rose was carrying last episode?
No, something cooler. Like a door? That's what a hatch is, Shannon.
I'm doing shit.
And then we get like a crazy jump scare where the monster thing. And
bro.
I meant to rewind it and slow frame it because it's like we kind of see the monster.
I did that. I went
was
back.
Was it like a leg or I mean.
No, there were two trees and the monster just like ripped the two trees out of the ground.
Oh, it was trees.
It was trees.
Dang.
Yeah. I was like, oh.
And they run.
What were you?
I was like, oh.
And Shannon gets snatched up. And that's the end of that scene. Back
but
in the
that
past.
That was so funny. She got ripped up and all you just see her feet
kicking?
Exit. Like, yeah. like camera left.
Was she wearing Saeed's shoes?
No. Those ugly ass shoes.
Back in the past, Shannon comes to Boone's hotel. And she tells him that Brian took the money and left.
Brian.
He's like, oh, the player got played. Whatever. And she's like, I know why you always come. Because you're in love with me. And then I put, as I said earlier, ha 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 ha. They fuck. And then it's like the afterward, they cut to like post-coitus. And he's just like shell-shocked.
That framing was so interesting.
And yeah. She's like,
was this a different director than normal?
Actually, I don't know that off the top of my head.
Because I thought there was something wrong with like the, like I thought it was paused. I thought my TV was paused on like that frame. Like it was paused on like this weird frame and then it was going to turn into like light. But no, he was crouched in front of the forefront of the camera for like,
yeah, and he's like still naked, like traumatized.
Yeah. She's like fully clothed.
Put your pants on, dude. She's like smoking a cigarette. Like, right. Don't be a baby about this.
Don't be a bitch.
Get it together.
And put your clothes on. We're going to go back and never talk about this. Not a big deal.
But it was in charge. It was a very like, I don't know. It was a very like stylistic choice for that. And it was something very different than what we've seen before. Yeah, I mean,
they're framing it for the future too. Like this is something that really bothers Boone.
Yeah.
And not Shannon. And he has a lot more feelings wrapped up in it than she does. She's kind of manipulative. I mean, the way they're painting Shannon is not great.
Bit. Yeah.
Not great.
Because, I mean, she just hustled him for $50,000.
Not for the first time.
But also, like, I mean, the backstory there is, you know, we don't know the context of Boone's mom. Like, was she...
There's a little bit of an allusion to, like, she doesn't give Shannon any support. Yeah,
so there might be some underlying story there that we're not familiar with. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I really like the last couple shots, like you said, with him staring there shell-shocked and that tight shot of him looking ahead. And the way that she says, like, hey, we can...
We'll just go back.
We'll go back to how it was. We'll go to LA and we'll go back to normal. And he said something like, it's all up to you. Like,
yeah.
He's just so upset about it.
He's very resentful. And then back in the present, Boone's looking for Shannon. The river's filled with blood. And he sees Shannon's broken body on the rocks, mauled. And at that moment, I knew that he was going to find her alive and well back at the camp.
I was confused. Like, I knew that was going to happen. But I also was kind of like, oh, maybe there's just weird... like island thing where she's brought back to life. Like they have to bury her. And then she
like a pet cemetery.
Cemetery.
Well, that's what I thought when they found Charlie, quote unquote, dead. I was like, oh, he's going to be alive somehow, but it's because he comes back.
Sometimes dead is better.
Don't go down that road. And then Boone gets back to find Locke sitting at a campfire, clearly waiting on him. And he tries to stab Locke and Locke like flips him over and he's like, calm down, boy. You know, I'm on top usually. There's no blood on you. If you found her dead, where's the blood? And you can hear Shannon alive, having a great time with Saeed in the background.
Wearing those shoes.
I love these shoes so much.
Was she wearing them?
No.
And Locke says that he drugged him. I do think that there is some kind of admission there to the hallucinogens. And he's like, how'd you feel when you thought she was dead, though? And Boone's like, relieved. And Locke's like, yes. I knew it. No girls allowed at the hatch. Yeah.
Boys only.
Boys only club.
Only we below's allowed here.
And then he says, follow me and lose the pants. And that's the end of the episode.
And thus, another mysterious force of the island revealed.
That's right.
Amazing. That was good. I had such a good time with this episode.
So now we get to Beach Please. Steve, do you got anything for us?
Beach Please. This is the part of the episode where I tell you little trivia tidbits and whatnots about
tits and bits.
Tits and bits.
Tits and bits.
About the episode we just watched. Guys, I don't have anything for you.
Oh,
I was looking up some trivia that came up in this episode. A lot of the things are things we either already have talked about or would be spoilers to talk about now. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can really say is that originally Shannon and Boone were not supposed to be fucking. They actually decided, Carlton Cuse, who is the producer of Lost, he came up with the idea, like, why don't they fuck? Because they were trying to think of a way to make their relationship more interesting.
He probably watched the previous two episodes and was like, Seems like you guys are leaning toward them fucking.
They had mentioned that in the previous episodes as they were making it, their chemistry was giving off old married couple vibes. And so that's where he got the idea of like, well, why don't they have like a sexual relationship and not just be brother and sister?
Yeah.
And so they kind of reworked.
Manufactured the stepsister thing.
Yeah. And this was kind of going in conjunction with the plan to make Boone a more central, important character. Because we've talked about before how like a lot of the stuff that Boone and Shannon have done so far in the series were supposed to be given to characters that don't exist. And so they had been kind of actively trying to make Boone and Shannon more interesting, more integral to the plot, and mixed with the idea that they wanted to make them a more sexual relationship that they have. I think this is like the first episode where all those ideas are finally coming together. And from here on out, I think Boone especially is much more integral to the story. And it's exciting to go from. That has been Beach Please.
From your boy Steve.
Amazing trivia.
Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments from the episode. Madison, lead us with your number three moment.
My number three is Hurley telling Jen to pee on his foot. I loved the comic relief of all of those scenes with Jen and Hurley, especially the one where he's like telling him to pee on his foot, followed by your wife's hot. I got a kick out of it. I feel like we haven't seen those two characters together a whole bunch. So it was just nice to see them together and interacting the way that they were.
Absolutely. Steve, your number three.
My number three is the last scene of the episode of the Locke leaning in and Boone, what did you see? And I just really like the cryptic nature of the Locke character. And then there's finally one other person on this island that can sort of relate to Locke in some way, because he's always been kind of off on his own by himself. He's not really connected to a lot of people, except for maybe Charlie. But now we've got another person that's kind of sort of introduced to the mystical element of the island. And I'm very excited for what that'll bring. And just like you said, Terry O'Quinn's a diamond and he can like make the most ridiculous thing. Like, where's the blood? Just even the most ridiculous line of dialogue that character might have, the way Terry O'Quinn delivers it is just so believable.
Yeah, he's the best actor in the show, I think.
Yeah, you're just enwrapped by that character, and it's all the way he's playing him. He's just aloof, mysterious. Is he bad? Is he the ultimate good guy? You don't really know, and that's why the character's so interesting, and I just like that scene a lot with him and Boone.
I agree. I'm going to give number three to Jack and Locke, which I think is just a fun pairing. As I said, it's kind of like the two different leaders in this almost theocracy that's developing. You know, you've got like the Pope and the King, and it's just fun to see them interact. And Locke is just so immune to everybody's bullshit. I mean, he has no fear, right? He's capable of taking care of himself. So Saeed doesn't mess with him, you know, but they all kind of, I don't know, all of the other type A's.
They're kind of scared of him.
Yeah, all the other type A's are kind of like, this is a wild card, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like even Sawyer would be very hesitant to even sarcastically play with this guy.
Right.
And I just think that's a fun dynamic. So that's my number three, Jack and Locke. Madison, your number two.
My number two is Steve's number three, which is Boone learning that everything he experienced was a hallucination or an illusion, whatever. I just think it was a good reveal. Especially to go through something super intense as the audience, like, holy shit, like Shannon's dead, like no way. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the whole conversation with Locke about the blood and then just kind of spiraling that into them going into the forest. That was my number two.
Steve, your number two.
My number two is actually, we swapped twos and threes. My number two is, Hurley and Jen, and Hurley just pee on it.
Pee
on my foot, dude. Like, that's such a really funny delivery. Yeah. Hurley's just the best. Awesome. I feel like every episode, I look forward to seeing who is Hurley paired with. Because so far, every single pairing Hurley's had has always been really enjoyable. Like him and Sawyer a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. He and Charlie when they were doing the golf outing. And now we get Hurley and Jen. And it's just as fun as everything else. And Daniel Day Kim as Jen, like even in that scene, his acting, I think, is really, really good as this guy who doesn't understand what Hurley's saying. But also he gets the point across like, you're not going to fish well, little boy. Please leave. Like, let the men fish. All right. I know what I'm doing. You clearly don't. but you can hang around and try to throw your little sticks with fabric with a t-shirt. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You can try. But I really like that episode. I love those characters a lot.
My number two is the same as yours in Madison's number three. The interaction between Hurley and Jen is awesome. I do love the character of Jen. I think it's one of the most interesting backstories. It's like if I was going to watch a movie of anybody's backstory, it would be Jen and Son, hands down. Mm. You know, that is my shit. And but then like the whole your wife's hot, like it's funny. that's me. That's my jam. So that's my number two, Madison. I can't imagine we don't all have the same number one. But Madison, what is your number one?
Well, I don't know. Mine might be different. Mine was the Boone and Shannon tie-up/monster attack sequence. Okay. I knew you guys were going to pick the other one.
I was like, we're on the same page so far.
I did have the morning after scene between Shannon and Boone on there as well. There were a lot of scenes to pick from, honestly. But I don't know. I liked the action part of it, the monster being there, because we haven't really had many people interact with the monster up until this point. So it was just nice to see that. Also, I enjoyed the tying up. That was very fun. Mm-hmm.
You're going to write it in your pirate journal later?
Maybe. But yeah, that was my number one.
Steve, you're number one.
Oh, well, you know, actually, I think my number one and your number one might be the same thing.
I hope so.
Judging, it's when Boone and Shannon fuck.
Yes.
Hey, I love love. I don't know if this is love, but I love it.
It's on one side.
On one side, yeah. And I think the acting is really great in the scene and just mm-hmm. the way that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, yeah.
I think mm-hmm. it is. I think Ian Somerhalder is a very attractive man. Uh-huh. I would love to just watch 90 minutes of him brooding in a dark room with those piercing blue eyes. And that shaggy hair, oh my gosh, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
But I also think the scene, specifically the post-coital scene, I think, again, I've said it a couple times this episode, is like the most artfully done cinematography that the show's had so far, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion. Like you could see that in an A24 movie trailer right now. And I just really, it instantly makes these characters so much more interesting. And it's just kind of like, what is this? Like, even if you don't like the scene, you have to admit, like, it definitely changes the whole dynamic that these two characters have.
Yeah.
And also their relationship to the entire show. And it's kind of jaw-dropping. It's kind of crazy. And I fucking love it for it.
I can't wait for the next episode for it to not be addressed amongst everybody else. But in my head, I'm like,
they fucking,
they fucked. Oh my God. They grew up together. Like they fucked.
Imagine from this point on, every time Shannon is like hitting on Saeed the whole time, you're like, where's Boone?
Boone's watching.
Is Boone watching?
Boone's definitely watching.
Is Boone actually over it or is he going to be watching still?
He's watching.
Oh, wow. I accidentally read a spoiler.
Oh no.
No.
It's not really, but it kind of is if you take it far enough. But it says this is the only Boone-centric episode in the entire series. Mm. Is what Lostopedia says.
Thanks.
Lostopedia.
Yeah, I wanted to share my pain with you.
Thank you.
But how many Shannon episodes are there?
I didn't look. I agree with you. I just think if you step back from a writing perspective, the balls to do this in 2004, you know, this is ahead of its time. This this yeah. is smutty. This is trashy. This is great. You know, and this was a risk. So kudos to whoever, Colin or whatever, Carlton
Cuse.
They leaned into the obvious, I feel like. When everyone thought the obvious, they weren't going to go the obvious.
But you weren't allowed to speak it. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, I think you're looking at it from a lens of 2023. You know, you're watching a Netflix show. It's like, oh, they fucking, you know what I mean? Whereas in 2004, this is ABC. You're sitting down at night, right. 7 o'clock. You had a tough day at work. I don't think that's occurring to you. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're thinking they fucking.
Yeah. If you look at reviews of this episode from the time, a lot of it is what I was trying to do when I found the spoiler. Is people are like, this is gross, and you're just it's like people thought it was like super a cheap way to make boring characters somewhat more mm-hmm. interesting by it being like a shock value thing, which I think there's some merit to that criticism for sure.
But I'm in at the same time.
I'm in. Like,
it worked.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's like the episode where we talked about like, oh, it was just zooming in on Kate's ass. It's male gazey. You're just trying to throw some candy in there. And I'm like, I hear you.
But yeah, I mean,
it worked. But
but also I was again, all form of perspective, like when I really started paying attention to TV, like in my late teens, the stuff that I was watching was kind of progressing away from that, if that makes sense.
The male gaze or the sex with just the siblings?
Both. Well, actually, no, like I feel like not that there's a common theme of like step siblings sleeping with each other, but there were shows that had plots like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is back to, like I said, Brady Bunch did in the 60s.
Yeah. And I feel like, didn't the Fosters also have like
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends?
No, the ABC Family Show.
No, I never watched the Fosters.
I don't know. But anyway, like,
there's War of the Roses.
So I can understand like you guys being, I don't know how old you are in 2004, but
16.
But like that's your interpretation of like prime TV. And then my interpretation of prime TV is different. So it's just like my interpretation of this television is going to be different.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was a bold move. And
at the time, absolutely.
And I love it. Like I just didn't see it coming.
But it opened the doors for so many more step-sibling relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This episode walked so Cersei and Jaime Lannister could run.
Actually,
I know the books came out first. Yeah, but it was already on TV.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll pull some quotes of people who reviewed this episode at the time. Ryan McGee from Zap to It. Characterized the episode as, quote, having a weak backstory with a creeptastic ending.
Creeptastic.
Although he enjoyed Lockford being, quote, incredibly sage and incredibly terrifying all at once. In Finding Lost, the unofficial guide, Nikki Stafford critiqued the writers for having some of the characters act. This is the Jack and Kate being jokey and sweet. And then someone from the Houston Chronicle, Therese Odell, I think that's how you pronounce it. She called it, quote, profoundly weird and described it as a transition episode. But I guess she went back and reviewed it after all the episodes came out, and she praised the lovely lovely exploration of Boone's character. Huh. So I guess like over time, her opinion changed. Like, oh, actually, this is a good exploration of this.
It is a turning point, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Now it's like I have more faith that they could surprise me again, you know, not just in mystical ways. Where they can kind of deus ex machina my shock, but in like character ways, you know? So
now I'm interested to see like, remember that Lost season one episodes ranking lists we found?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see where this one is.
If I had to guess, probably mid tier.
It's 23rd out of 25.
So they hate
on the IMDb ranking.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. It's up. See there. So I just have a different kind of taste.
Yes. I'm literally.
Because that other episode I had very high as well. The one, was it 12? The way we talked about it, and I was like, love it.
Whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I like whatever the case may be. And I love Hearts and Minds. Yeah.
I'm looking up 7 most inappropriate sibling relationships in TV and movies.
Okay.
Surprisingly, Shannon and Boone are not on it, but Rosalie.
They were down for that.
Rosalie, Emmett, Jasper, and Alice from Twilight. Do you guys?
Not even really siblings.
Did you guys know that? Well, neither are Shannon and,
exactly.
and
Boone.
But wow. Did you guys ever watch the show Life with Derek?
No.
Well, that was another show of mine that I grew up watching, but their families are joined together by the mom and the dad.
Like Aaron. A Brady.
Yeah. And the sexual tension between the two of them was absolutely crazy. Luther and Allison Hargreaves from the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon Foster and Callie Adams Foster from the Fosters. Cesare and Lucrezia Bordry from the Bordry. I don't know who those characters are. Norma Bates and Caleb Calhoun from Bates Motel. And then Cersei and Jaime Lannister, Game of Thrones.
Number one. Yeah.
Number one.
That's definitely highly inappropriate.
Yeah.
I love it.
But
with the murder and all the other.
The things I do for love. Shoves child out window.
I love that.
Episode fucking one.
I know. But fuck, crazy. I love that show.
Yeah, so now it's time for our passenger princess, our favorite performance of the episode. We'll go around the room one last time. Madison.
Mine is Ian Somerhalder. Mr. Boone.
Mr. Boone himself.
A lot of physical acting, a lot of emotional sex scene acting. So, and obviously he...
I love that little like eye roll when she kissed his ear.
Yeah.
I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
But it was really well done. It was like I've been waiting so long for this kind of, you know, I thought it was salacious.
It was certainly worth that.
Don't, but do.
No way. Stop, don't
lower,
come back.
Lower, mm-hmm. higher.
It's
lower.
What I imagine Steve and I's union will one day be, mm-hmm. you know, just Steve, stop. We're supposed to be editing.
I'll be like, it's okay.
He'll say, hold out your hand.
Can you hold this for me?
Steve, who are you nominating?
You know, for a while I considered giving it to either Daniel Dae Kim or Yunjin Kim, Sun or Jin, mm-hmm. just because I really liked their Sun for being discovered that she speaks English and then Jin for not speaking English. Like, I just like that subtlety. But at the end of the day, I just keep going back to Ian Somerhalder's like 1,000-yard stare post-coitus. And like, I just think that's such a striking image and he's a striking man. And I really just want to give it to Ian Somerhalder. So I'm going to give it to him.
We're so close to a We All Everybody because I think Ian Somerhalder is not the obvious choice. That sounds condescending, but like he deserves it. You know, like it's very, very good performance. But I have to give it yet again to Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah.
I think that reviewer said it very well. He's both sage and terrifying because he is. He's a scary man, you know, in a way that I think is such a subtle performance to kind of balance on that tightrope. And he does it so well and it's so entrancing.
I want to change my vote now.
And I think he's like the MVP of the show. You know, he's holding it all together on as far as like the mystery and the intrigue. And for good reason, because his character, again, is the only person who knows for a fact that there's something supernatural occurring here because he can walk, right?
Yeah.
And nobody else. So he has a leg up over everyone else.
God damn it.
Come on, guys.
There you go. I'll give it to you.
So I'm giving it to Terry O'Quinn. And that brings us to our Lost and Found. I mean, on the one hand, we definitely have more mysteries added. But do we? We still don't know what's in the hatch. We don't really know what...
We've already talked about the hatch.
Locke's deal is.
The only one that I had added was what was in Michael's luggage. That's true.
What's in Michael's luggage? I think that'll probably be a small mystery solved very soon. Mm-hmm. But it'd be funny if it wasn't, if it was like a,
when we finally get Michael's
episode. The Heart of the Ocean from Titanic or something. We're like, what? And it's like this huge thing.
So yeah. What's in Michael's luggage?
What's in the box?
Yeah.
It's Charlize Theron's head.
Can Jin speak English?
Is that, okay?
I mean, I feel like he can't cause Steve's seen the show before. He's telegraphing, but I do think that it was a little nebulous in this episode.
Okay. I'll write it down.
Does Harley poop? Does he finally go poop?
I think he it's the opposite of constipation that's his issue. Mm. I think it's diarrhea.
I see.
Yeah,
but a lot of the other
episodes. Because there's a lot of fiber in fruit.
There is. I think a lot of the mysteries that are brought up in this episode are sort of rehashed from the previous. It's a lot of like, what is Locke's deal? What is the monster?
Yeah. Is Jack bipolar? Might be a question.
Oh, definitely.
Because he's just suddenly like, Hi, Kay.
We're best friends.
I love you. I know you kill people, but you're hot.
You're hot. I love what
Which is fair.
You really pull off the shaggy.
It's what I call the poison ivy effect.
The green and the brown pants really do it for me. Mm-hmm.
Same.
Love it.
Green shirt, brown pants.
That fatigue look. That brings us to the close of our coverage of episode 13. Next week, look forward to episode 14, of course. But this week, later on, you're going to get us to hear us review The Other Sister.
From 1999.
One of the best years in film. It's a great year in film.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's coming up next week. And if you missed it, check out the Wrapped episode, which is our highlights, the fan voted best moments of the show from 2023. Steve put a ton of work into that. The patrons put a ton of work in flagging those moments.
So fun.
And it is a treat. We love you all. Thank you so much for listening. But we've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Chris. Chris Laser.
My name is Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. And that is for sure. Happy streaming. You ready?
Daddy? Ready.
Can I call you Daddy?
I wish you would.
Daddy Top Steve.
Definitely a bottom.
Yeah.
Daddy Bottom Steve.
He's done when I tell him he's done.
Can I be done?
No.
I have stuff I gotta go to the bank.
Go to the bank.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.